is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
And welcome to Free For All Friday, 6 after the hour, almost 7 after the hour now. The phone number to call is 888-900-9966 to join the conversation. It's the Common Sense Hotline. We look forward to hearing from you today. 888-900-9966. Anything on your mind? Make no mistake. After this racist pig, which he legitimately was. You know, it's unusual. I want you to think about this, and Shane can chime in on this, and maybe he can help me and figure out why this is. But I have a prediction and an observation.
And what would that be?
Well, this truly is, if you want to define a hate crime, what happened in South Carolina, in Charleston there, is truly a hate crime at the AME church there. Truly a hate crime. Here's a guy who's an outspoken, racist, anti-black individual who's made considerable amounts of racist comments at school and high school and on his Facebook page and so on and so forth, right? And so you see the people like the likes of Al Sharpton and others throw the race card, you know, recklessly all of the time. Happens all the time. Recklessly, like in Baltimore. You know, racist police officers. Well, half the police officers are black, and the victim, the guy that died, Freddie Gray, was black as well. Well, that doesn't make any difference. Police are racist. Whatever. So you've got that problem. But in this particular case, you really finally have something that fits the bill. And I'm guessing, thus far, and going forward, there's not going to be riots in the streets. There's not going to be mass protests. There's not going to be looting and burning of the city of Charleston, South Carolina. You know, Governor Nikki Haley stepped to the podium and said, hey, this is a horrible thing. And everybody said, this is a horrible thing. Nobody embraces this. Nobody in white America embraces this. This is wanton slaughter of a deranged, sick individual. And if you missed it earlier, I'm not going to use the names going forward of these mass killers, because what's the point?
Yeah, they're looking for notoriety.
Right. He's looking to be famous. Well, he can be famous elsewhere and not on my dime. But let me ask you, why is that? Al Sharpton, well, first of all, from what I've read and understand, Al Sharpton was strongly encouraged not to show up. They don't want that atmosphere, that circus atmosphere that accompanies him any place he goes. They don't want that. And because this is a legitimate hate crime, a legitimate lowlife, a legitimate racist that committed the murders, and there was no rioting in the street. There were candlelight vigils and prayers.
I think that the rioting is to promote that it's a hate crime when it's not, where this is so obvious. I mean, this is there's no other dictionary definition of hate crime except for this, of almost everything you see.
In fact, going back, and I agree with you here, 9 people killed when the 21-year-old killer walked into the Bible study class at the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston. He stayed there for an hour before opening fire. He was arrested. I don't know. How far away was it? A ways.
He was in North Carolina.
Yeah, it was like 250 miles away. I'm just looking for the notes here. Cynthia Taylor, whose 87-year-old aunt Susie Jackson was among those killed, told the Associated Press that shooting survivor Felicia Sanders told Taylor that Sanders had played dead as she lay on top of her grandmother, or granddaughter, that is, to protect her during the shooting. Another survivor, a trustee of the church, said the killer told her he would let her live so she could tell others what had happened there. See, they want to be famous. I'll be no part of it. I'll just say this 21-year-old deranged kid who had a history of the use of powerful psychotropic drugs, a history of heavy usage of violent video games, you cannot tell me there is not a causal relationship between these two things. John is on the Common Sense Hotline in East Lansing today. John, what are your thoughts?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
One of the things I look at this is that Sunday morning in our society and culture is the most racially segregated time of the week.
When?
And I think, and the problem with that is I'm hoping that churches don't turn out where they start racial profiling or looking at people if they're different, because churches should allow everybody and guests to come and worship freely.
Well, that's clearly the, you know, that's the mission statement, if you will. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's churches are, the doors are wide open to sinners, not saints, of course, to those that things to battle.
I don't want to see churches in our society and culture having metal detectors and cameras. I mean, I understand you need a camera at a front door. In some places, you need somebody to patrol the parking lot. That's a sad part of our society.
What do you think would solve it, John? I mean, as you look at this, and I don't disagree with you, it is a sad part of our society when people like this 21-year-old pig can wander into a church and execute people at a Bible study. But the same thing happens in Israel on a daily basis. The same sorts of things happen, you know, in other places around the world. Fortunately, we've been, in large part, immune to this sort of senselessness in some ways for a lot of years. But in other ways, America's victimized more often in certain ways. So what do you think the solution is?
I don't have an easy solution. That's the problem. But I do know as a church attendant and a believer, I'm going to pray for those people this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure you already have. I'm sure you already have. Yeah. And we pray for their healing too, and for the people that survived that, and for the wreckage left behind. And John, I appreciate your input. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good weekend.
There you have it. John from East Lansing checking in. And I agree. We pray for these folks, but there's a couple of things that bother me about this is that the usual suspects that scream racism, when you actually have a case in front of you that deserves attention, they won't show up with their Rent-A-Riot. And then you've got the folks, of course, that politicize this immediately as somehow it's a conservative problem. Really? Do you really think that conservatives like myself condone this kind of behavior? Because if you do, you need mental health professionals immediately. If you think for a moment that I would condone this kind of action against any group of people that are not an outspoken, obvious enemy to the United States and myself, then you need immediate psychiatric evaluation. If you would think that conservatives in general condone this kind of behavior on any level, you need to examine yourself and not us. The concern about politicizing this and attacking the Second Amendment and trying to blame, you know, conservatives and white Americans is a general rule is unfortunate and racist in nature, I would add. I know of no one that would condone such a thing, and thankfully so, and I don't think anybody does. It's 14 after the hour. If you'd like to join the conversation, we sure would welcome your point of view on the Common Sense Hotline. It's 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. What are your thoughts? I mean, let's be honest. The gun laws were already in place. All sorts of gun laws in place. What did they do? Nothing. The guy got his hands on a gun anyway. It's 14 after the hour. It's the Steve Gruber Show on Free For All Friday. We'll be right back.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
It's 18 after the hour. Yeah, just so much to sort out in a given day, and I just, you know, and I lost track for a moment, and I just want to catch back up with my good friend and transracial black woman, Rachel Dolezal. I didn't, you know, wanted to make sure that she didn't get lost in the shuffle, because, you know, don't let the madness steal away from the madness. The City Council of Spokane unanimously voting Rachel Dolezal off the Police Ombudsman Commission yesterday after an investigation showed she and two other members acted inappropriately, yeah, to say the least. Dolezal, the woman who is accused of lying about her race, no, she's not accused of, she is lying. If this is funny, CNN keeps going, the alleged white woman, dude, look at the childhood picture. Look at her. It's not like, wow, this is her. This might be her. Really? She's not allegedly lying about her race. She is lying. Work with me. She is lying about her race. No problem. Meant to provide citizen oversight for the police department, removed from that position. The misconduct allegations, which include workplace, let's say it liberally correct, harassment. The workplace harassment, which is not a word, but harassment is. The harassment and improper government action came to light in a whistleblower complaint and are unrelated to the race accusations, which catapulted her into the national spotlight this week. See, I can, you know, we can do it like an NPR. I could do it. Like, what's that woman that's on there?
The city of Spokane started the investigation in May and found the three.
What is her name?
I can't remember her name, but you don't have enough lip smacking. When you're on NPR, the lips have to smack.
Anyhow, what is the woman that does All Things Considered? You know, it sounds like that at any moment the mic just might go dead and you hear a tumbling of the chair. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Fum-fum. We now return to our regularly scheduled programming. Anyhow, sorry. I don't know how I got down that road. Anyhow, the city of Spokane started an investigation in May and found that three commissioners, including Dolezal, created a negative work environment, tried to adopt policies before a new ombudsman was in place. Spokane Mayor David Condon called for the resignation of the commissioners earlier in the week. The conduct of these three members is a very serious violation of the public trust. Then we cannot tolerate violation of the three, he said. Meanwhile, Dolezal, center of the storm, remains defiant, saying, well, you know, I don't know who my parents are. Well, I can tell you, Rachel, we know who your parents are. I mean, give me the pictures. Let's look at it, and we can make it pretty clear as who your parents are. And I think that her 15 minutes of fame was ushered to a near end quickly. By next week, nobody's going to care, I don't think. I don't think it's going to matter. But this whole idea, well, you can be whatever you want. You know, basically, whatever you think you are is what you are. No, not really. I mean, it's this whole thing. Well, you know, race is just a social construct. Is it? You really think so? That race and then the gender is just a social construct? Really? So it's just, there's not really anything to this.
Then why do they talk about the war on women?
Exactly. It's just a social construct.
Or if race is just what you want it to be, what happened yesterday in Charleston?
Exactly. It's just a social construct, Shane. At any rate, you just held up something there about the film credits. I saw that, and we were talking about this last hour. The film credits in Michigan about to become a thing of the past. The film credits, just historically speaking, the film credits were $50 million one time. Movies like Gran Torino, which was a fabulous film, it really was, with Clint Eastwood, if you never saw it, but he took home like $20 million to California that Michigan, you and I, the taxpayers, put in his pocket and said, hey, Clint, thanks for stopping in. See you later. And away he went.
Well, when Governor Granholm put this into place, she touted it as for every dollar spent, we generated up to $3 in economic activity, which in 2009, Michigan spent $37.5 million to generate $21.1 million. In 2010, Michigan's spent $100 million to generate $59.5 million.
I think that's what you call a trans-financial windfall.
But one of the other states that Ms. Granholm touted at the time was New Mexico's program that we wanted to duplicate. They were only generating 14 cents in revenue per dollar spent. So none of the states have.
So none of the states have put this out there.
None of them.
Because I was led to believe, and I've worked for the New Mexico Film Office, and yes. I was led to believe that it was a big successful thing too. Apparently, smoke and mirrors. It's Hollywood, Shane. It's make-believe. To the hotline now, the Common Sense Hotline. Joe in Owosso is on the line.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Listen, my comment is, if everybody is hitting a quandary about her ethnicity, then why doesn't they just do a DNA test?
Well, she suggested
that. I always am amazed at how when, people in conversations pass up the raw science and knowledge that we're able to do and just keep going on the social mores. I mean, it's ridiculous, but then again, I guess I always think that the majority of the people that are giving us this information probably are not the most intelligent people in our society.
Mm-hmm.
But they look good. They look good. You got to look good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's about how you look. It's not about what the truth is. And
I know. It's my favorite comment or my favorite thing is the one line by, I think it was one of the guys from America was, or Don Henley, the bubble-headed bomb comes on at 6 o'clock.
Actually, she comes on at 5.
Oh, is that okay?
She'll tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. Come on, Joe.
That's right.
Let's get our 80s hits right now, son. See how good I am.
And then on the other comment, you're talking about return. Hey, look at your return on the amount of money you pay into Social Security, and then you start drawing it out, buddy.
Yeah.
I think that's 9 cents. That's what, 9 cents out of every dollar?
Something like that. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Joe, we got to run, buddy. Thanks for checking
in. Take care, guys.
There you have it.
Bye-bye.
The Common Sense Hotline is 888-900-9966.
By the way, her name's Diane Rehm, National Public Radio.
Boom, boom. Oh, my God, Diane Rehm has fallen from her chair. We'll have a slight break in programming until further notice. 25 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Michigan's radio program of record is The Steve Gruber Show. Here is Steve Gruber.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows.
33 after on a free for all Friday. And to the hotlines, we go. A little common sense being dished up. Dave is in Diamonddale. Is that Diamond Dave in Diamonddale? There you go. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
This thing with Wahlberg, he's my non-representative.
Yep.
And, you know, the genesis of this goes back. He was our congressman. He got defeated by Mark Showers. We went back and beat Mark Showers to get Wahlberg back in there. And we said, now go make a difference. And he said, Wahlberg said, we're only one half of one third of, you know, of the United States government. So we need the Senate. Well, the next time around, we gave him the Senate and reelected him.
And now
he said,
okay,
now go make a difference. Stop Obama. And now he says, we need to give Obama this trade agreement thing because we need it as a country to make more jobs. And my thing is, there's one thing I need to know about this trade agreement. If Obama wants it, it's probably bad for America, period.
Well, that's the conversation we're having
earlier. If it's all secret, you don't need to know any more than that.
Yeah, so,
because Obama talks us down every chance he gets.
I don't disagree with you, Dave, and thanks for calling and checking in. I agree with you on that because, you know, if it's in secret, then what are we doing here? How is it okay to vote in Obamacare in secret, basically, not knowing what's in it? And the answer is it's not, because we know how that's working out. And then a trade agreement in secret, it's not a good idea. In fact, now Obamacare, $3 billion unaccounted for in Obamacare payments. Don't even know where they went. This is the kind of policy you end up with. In fact, joining us now is Ed Haselmeyer, the Senior Research Fellow for Health Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. And Ed, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, when you have secret negotiations and people don't read bills and policy before they become law, the end result can be, well, problematic to say the least.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And so here we are, looking for $3 billion, and my question is, do you have a guess as to where it went? Do we know? Do we have any clue? Do we have anybody on the case to find the missing $3 billion in taxpayer money?
Yeah, well, I have to say, it's not exactly missing. We know where it went. We just don't know if it was spent properly. That's really what the IG is saying. Look, this provision says that everybody's focused on the fact that if people's income is low enough, they'll get a tax subsidy, a tax credit subsidy for the premium to buy health insurance on exchange, right? But there's another provision that says, well, if your income's low enough and you buy a silver plan, we, the government, will also go pay the insurer through the back door to not only on the front door, we're paying them for part of your premium, but we're actually paying them through the back door to lower the cost sharing for you.
Right.
So let's say the standard deductible for the silver plan is $500, but you're poor. The government will pay the insurer more money to make your deductible, not the other person's, but yours, say, $100 instead of $500. Now, of course, that adds to the cost of the policy, but rather than have that reflected in the premium, we're just going to pay the insurer extra money. That's the government's design here. That's what Congress...
Well, and there's the problem, and here we are. We're subsidizing, and in the insurance industry, I mean, wouldn't it be great if your business or mine, Ed, we just had, you know, mandatory customers, you know, just line them up and start paying money. It's the law.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But the other thing is that what's going on here is that the money, they don't know really how much extra it's going to cost to lower that deductible from, say, $500 to $100, right? They have a pretty good idea, but they don't know exactly. So what they're doing is they're saying to the insurers, well, here's an advance amount, and then we'll come back and reconcile it against what it really costs. And the problem is they haven't built the system to do that. And that's what this is pointing out. And some of us have known that for quite a while.
Right, and
they
haven't
got a system. They're just giving them some money and hoping it works out and saying, you know what, come back in a year and a half and maybe we'll have the system built to figure out if we gave you the right amount of money for the right people.
And if we didn't, we'll give you more. And if we don't, if the insurance companies don't make money, don't worry about that, guys. We've got it right here. We, the American taxpayers, we'll cover your difference. You won't lose money on this deal. It's a guaranteed profit. Tell your stockholders we're good.
Yeah, and that's essentially, yeah, most of them are nonprofit insurers, but yeah, you're right. And
most.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, what do they do in Medicare and Medicaid? Well, pay the bill first. We just had this big healthcare fraud case come down, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Medicare. The Justice Department announced all these arrests on healthcare fraud in Medicare. Well, why do you see that? Why don't you see that with private insurers? Well, the reason you don't see that with private insurers so much is they actually check and will catch a lot of this stuff before they pay the money out. With the government, it's pay it first, chase it down later. And that's called pay and chase, and that's what you see in Medicare, and that's why you have fraud in Medicaid, and that's why you have fraud, and now they're doing the same thing in Obamacare plans.
And so here, and so I go back to the caller that was just here, because obviously, you know, Ed, the conversation now is on these trade packages and the TPP and all these other things are being pushed out there completely in secret. You know, Obamacare, at least we had some light, a little bit of inkling of what some things were going to happen. And so I understand the mistrust, if you will, of the American people going, now, wait a second. You know, when we did this whole Obamacare thing in the dark, here's what we got. And now they want to do trade things that are even further into the dark. I can see the trepidation from myself and others. Now, just tell us the truth about what we're doing here so we can make an educated decision.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm not an expert on trade, though. I have colleagues who are, and I'm sure they'd be happy to be on your show to get into that one. But you had the right point, I think, and that is when the government shows, certain elected officials in the government, like a president or a congressional leadership, show that they're not trustworthy on one thing, then it's reasonable for the public to think, well, are they really trustworthy on the next thing?
Right. My point being is they make up their own rules as they go. They're not particularly accountable to anyone.
Well, that's the other problem, too. It's not just trust, but it's accountability. And that's an even bigger problem with this administration.
Agreed.
And you know, the disturbing thing in there is that it doesn't disturb a lot of Democrats in Congress, because if the Obama administration can be unaccountable and can rewrite what Congress does, well, what's to stop the next Republican administration from doing that?
Well, that's the point.
I would think if I was a Democrat, I'd be worried about that.
Well, I'm a Republican, you know, more often than I'm a Democrat. I'm not registered either one, but I'm more likely to go to the right than to the left, and I'm worried about that. You know, I don't want the executive branch to have this kind of power, to wield this kind of authority that basically, we're going to do this, we're not really going to check with anybody, we're just going to go do it.
Right, and that's my point, is whether you're a Democrat or Republican member of Congress, you should be worried about the executive branch not being on, you know, not following what you, Congress or legislative branch, write, because then they're taking your power and in an unconstitutional way. Now, regardless of whether it's your party's person who's in the White House or not, that should bother you if you are either a Republican or Democrat member of Congress.
That's right, and that's where you have to leave it today. But Ed, you're exactly right, which is why we run into problems of $3 billion. Pay and chase. You said, and that's an unfortunate. It's no way to run a railroad, Ed. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
There you have it. And Heisel Meyer here from the Heritage Foundation. It is no way to run a railroad, my friends. It's Free for All Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
We get some people good. We don't talk too much about it.
All righty, it's Friday, which means it's time to plan your weekend. This is the time of year, a lot of open houses going on, of course, graduation open houses this time of the year. I've been invited to a couple this weekend, may attend, probably will, in fact. It's also a good time to get out and see what is big and happening in the movie theaters. And, of course, we bring in our expert, a man who's been on vacation, missing in action for some period of time, out making his own adventure series, Ron Van Timmeren, everyone.
Good morning, Steve. How's it going?
Good. How was your adventure series?
Good. I was in New York a couple weeks ago on business, did a little sightseeing. Highly recommend the 9/11 Memorial Museum. We got a big day there, and that was outstanding.
Tell me about
that. I went fishing, though, so that was fun.
Well, I want to hear about the museum. Tell me about that.
Well, it's just a sobering experience, and just to spend, you know, I could have spent all day and then the next day in there, but to see all of the coverage that they captured, as well as artifacts, and you're standing literally in the where the World Trade Center stood, where the Twin Towers stood.
Sure.
It's just a religious experience, really.
So it's emotional.
Very, very. Uh-huh. Everybody's very somber in there and quiet and respectful, and that's the way it should be.
Right, and the opposite of a sobering experience is going fishing.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, enjoying Michigan's outdoors this time of year is what it's all about, right? And up on Walloon Lake, we caught a bunch of fish.
Oh, you went to the prime real estate. You went to the high-dollar lake. That's my boy. That's Ron Van Timmeren, everybody, living in high dollar. A big, oh, look at the big shot. That's all. Ron Van Timmeren, there you go. All right, well, apparently the movie sales are good. Tell us about what's going on in the movies.
Well, first of all, Jurassic World broke the all-time biggest movie in history at the box office, both domestic and foreign, over $500 million in its first week of release. I think it stays number one at the box office, but a strong, strong entry this week with Inside Out from Pixar and Disney, 99% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. The critics loved it. I loved it. Taking a look inside your head, the voices inside your head, specifically joy, anger, fear, sadness, and disgust, brought to life by some great celebrity voices. This one's not to be missed, Steve. Fantastic movie, Inside Out.
Inside Out, but I mean, it's not going to touch $500 million in sales. $500 million in one weekend?
$500 million in its first weekend, almost $600 million for the first week. And, you know, again, worldwide release simultaneously. You know, Inside Out could get there eventually. These Pixar movies are just not that kind of box office thesaurus like Jurassic World. It'll open strong, it'll stay strong, it'll be playing all summer long.
So I should see both of these films, honestly.
Well, yeah, if you want to be cool and in the know. Come on, Steve.
I want to be like Ron Van Timmeren so I can be cool, like, in the know and fishing on Walloon Lake. I mean, it takes a certain way to get there, my friend.
I am blessed. I will not disagree with that. There's also a movie called Dope, which was a Sundance Film Festival darling, kind of a no-star cast, but you know, brought the story of a young group of guys trying to get out of Englewood, California, and outsmart the gangsters in their neighborhood. And R-rated, but good-looking movie in Dope, something different than a blockbuster.
So Dope, is it a drug film? What is it?
There is some drug use in here. The kids unwittingly get themselves in the middle of a plot with some drug dealers, and they're smarter than your average drug dealer, and they figure it out, and that's part of the fun of the movie Dope.
All right, and I think probably beyond that, there probably isn't much else to see, though, is there?
Well, Spy's still hanging around, San Andreas, Pitch Perfect, Entourage still hanging around, Tomorrowland, Avengers even in the top 10. And before we meet again next week, Thursday night, you can see Ted 2. That's the big hit coming out next week.
Man, Talk about foul-mouthed little bear. I'll tell you what. He had to clean up his act.
I know. The first one was very funny, but you're right. You have to be ready for some foul-mouthed, R-rated stuff. But good fun coming next week, Thursday night.
All right. Ron Van Timmeren, my personal hero, by the way, everybody. Ron Van Timmeren, thanks so much.
See you in the movies.
There you have it. Walloon Lake Ron. Big shot, Ron Van Timmeren. $500 million on Jurassic World, which to me is just stunning. Stunning, to say the least. $500 million. And you know what? Yeah, they'll end up getting my money at some point. You wonder where all that money goes now, of course, because Jurassic Park and all that written by the late Michael Crichton, of course, who's been dead for, what, 10 years? Something like that. Maybe 10 years. I don't know. A while.
Maybe it's been that long.
You know, State of Fear, I thought, was one of the greatest books ever written. For me personally, and Jurassic Park was Michael Crichton. So he's a genius, flat out genius, who was taken certainly too early.
Well, when he wrote fiction, he did research. So when he wrote incidences in his book,
oh my gosh,
it was well documented. That's why accurate.
His books were so good, like State of Fear, because of the footnotes that took up page after page after page of here's where I got this and here's where I got this quote and these statistics, and that's why it was fabulous. And State of Fear is about global warming, if you will, which is if you have any questions about global warming, you should read the Michael Crichton book State of Fear. It is a few years old, but still every bit as important today as it was then, I can assure you. The University of Michigan's athletic department lost $7.9 million during the last fiscal year. A loss that was realized because of the payouts of high-earning officials and a vast drop-off in ticket sales. Well, this year, Michigan voted to raise their tuition 2.7% in-state, 3.7% non-residents, and they also expect to make a lot more money at the football stadium because they expect that this... What's this guy's name?
James Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Jim Harbaugh, that guy, the new coach. Should put people in the stands, and I believe that to be very true. Jim Harbaugh is going to turn the Michigan program around, financially speaking, is their big concern, of course. Jim Hackett, the interim athletic director, which is weird. Why I have not taken that word off the front of his name, I don't know. You know, at some point I have to get Stouty in here, Tim Stout, and say, why is Hackett still the interim athletic director? He has done a smashing job so far. Anyhow, U of M may have lost $8 million last year, but they won't this. 52 after the hour, it's Free for All Friday on the Steve Gruber Show.